to know, Houston, we have a problem. And I immediately, my instinct was to call my dad. Now, those are the kind of colleague things that I'll miss. But we move beyond even the consultant phase. And you know, God really has called us in life to move into these phases. Now, the emotion of letting go, woo, that's a rough one. John Ortberg said this, and he said, watching one of my kids grow up and fly away is like cutting off one of my limbs. Boy, I can concur with that completely. Our oldest is 15, soon to turn 16. And whoever lets them drive at 16, that should change that law. But that's another story. I just think of them leaving, and I cry. I go by their rooms, and I just think of them not being there. We're going to have to move. Because I'm going to make a museum out of their rooms. I'm like, I can't leave. I've decided that when each one leaves, I will wear black for 1 year and go into mourning. I'm in counseling now, and Michelle, you know, saying, honey, that's probably not the best way to process this, and she's not much better than I am at it. Boy, the emotional letting go is not easy. And I can talk to you about it, but sometimes things is better felt than telt. Now, I will advance this warning to you. If you are a male with a daughter, there are Kleenex boxes on the floor all over this church because God touches people's hearts often and they cry. Just find the Kleenex. And if you have a little girl or even a little boy and you're going to start to process some things, I want you to feel, instead of me talking to you about the emotion of letting go, I'd rather you take a moment and experience it. Again, from the movie Father of the Bride, the night before his daughter's going to get married, we find Steve Martin going through a little process. And after we pick this up, we'll get into what the Word says about letting your kids go. Take a look at this. I just thanked him, but I didn't mean it. That was brutal. That's a third time. Oh, I can't do it anymore, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me. Oh. I've gotten some great ideas from fathers, though, in these last several weeks. Dads have come to me with ways to threaten boys that I didn't think of. John had one, we're just back there, and he mentioned that you get a wanted poster of you. Grow a few days of beard and have it black and white photo, just real mean looking. You know, wanted for murder. And then real small print, killed a teenage boy, wanted to date his daughter. And you're out on good behavior, which is about to end. I'm not good with a gun. Now, Steve Moore's a redneck. He can shoot a bug off your earlobe. But one fellow mentioned to me having a baseball bat. And I have one somebody gave me that's signed by Andre Dawson that was used in the game Pine Tar on it. And I was thinking that when the boy came over, I could show him the bat and just beat my hand with it the whole time. Say, you know, see that dent? That was made by Andre Dawson. See that dent? That was made by a boy named Bobby. Look, someday I'll accept a young man into my life twice that will marry my little girls. And for some reason, it seems easier to accept a daughter-in-law than a son-in-law. But I will. But until then, you come see me in prison until we get through those days. And no, then letting go. It's just not, there's no easy way to process the emotion. You know, people do it with and without the Lord. Some of you are like me looking at letting go and thinking, I can't do this. My littlest one came to church with me early. She was teaching and working in one of the classrooms. She's 12 or 11. And she just can't grow up. It just can't be right. And I know she's going to. And I just, it's hard. And just the thought of that, we have to deal with the emotion of it. Now, there's no easy way to go through it. I wish I could give you experiences about it. I can't. Mine is yet to come. I'll take a 3 or 4 year sabbatical as your pastor as I go into therapy. But I will come back eventually. But sincerely, there's no easy way to deal and manage with the emotions of the transitions we go through in life. But you can do this naturally. Everybody does it one way or another. But I want to talk to you now from God's Word, the perspective of Scripture, letting go biblically. Now, there's so many scriptures in the Bible about parenting, but when I prayed about this, what God dealt with my heart to share with you was how Paul let go of his spiritual children. And there's parallels in the allegory between how Paul let go of his spiritual children and how we're to let go of ours naturally. We find in the book of Galatians a scripture. Now, remember this about the Galatian church. Paul wrote them a letter, and he said this in modern day translations. Here's what it says. You stupid Galatians. The King James says foolish. He said, who has so soon removed you from the truths I imparted to you? You began being perfected by the Holy Spirit, and now you're being perfected by your own works and your own effort. Somebody cast a spell over you. Ever feel like that as a parent? Who cast a spell over you, kid? And Paul said, you foolish, stupid Galatians. You've been so easily removed from the foundation I laid in you. And so he made this statement with that context in Galatians 4:19. He said, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. See, even after we let our kids go, our work, or our pain, if you will, isn't over until we see Christ formed in our children. Now, we all know there's pain in childbirth. Now, I've never obviously had a child. I've watched Michelle do it 3 times. And I know now why God has women give birth to babies. Because there would only be only children in the world if men did it. You do it one time, we're like, I'm doing that again. So we want more children. We'll buy some. I'm doing that again. And so our first is our son, of course. And now, of course, my last name's Italian, Nuzzo. So I wanted to name him Dante Antolini Nuzzo. Doesn't that sound good? His name is Ryan Bradley. Naming an Italian kid Ryan is like naming an Irish kid Giuseppe O'Leary. So why'd you do it? I watched my wife have that baby. And she liked Ryan Bradley. Now, I wanted Dante Andolini. But once that baby came, I said, baby, you can name that child Betty. I don't care. Phew. Anybody ever go to Lamaze? What a joke. Now, if you're a Lamaze teacher, it's a fantastic program. We went to one. Your first kid, man, you do it all. Lalichi, Lamachi, Bachi, everything, man. And we're in the class, man. Now you feel stupid. You're kneeling there and you're going, hee, 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 hoo, 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 hee. And she's in the groom, man. The first baby, she's hee, hee. And then, ah! You're like, oh! Second kid, epidural, baby. We're on the way to the hospital. I called the doctor, got his number, the emergency. I said, let him know. He knows we're coming. I said, but you get the epidural person in the room. Because they tell you if you go too far, you can't do the epidurally thing. So we don't want to take any risk. Mr. or Mrs. Epidural, be in the room. We walk in, just be ready to stick the thing and do the epidural. Because epidural was, I watched that twice. It wasn't nearly as bad as a hee hee hee. Hoo hoo hoo. There's pain in childbirth. There's pain in raising kids. There's work. There's tears upon tears upon tears. And when you let them go, when they move away from what you've imparted to them, there's more tears and more pain. And what Paul said, I'm going to have to go back and do some work in faith and in prayer until Christ be formed in you. And what I want you to see that as our parents, our job as parents, it's never over. As parents, our work of faith and prayer never ceases. And this is what's important about it. Faith and prayer, it's also the remedy for those of us who didn't have the knowledge of God when we were raising our kids. Or if we did, we didn't apply it and didn't make deposits of God's word in our children that we've already let go. I can tell you this from personal experience in dealing with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in 28 years of ministry. Thousands of people. I think the most difficult emotion to deal with in life is regret. It's just difficult because you can't change it. It seems like every other emotion you can kind of work through. But if God doesn't help you through regret, it seems like you're always stuck. And I don't know anybody who's parented that can't look backwards with some regrets, including me. I look back and I think, oh, I wish I could do that over, God. Oh, Jesus, I wish I could do that over. I would like to do this over and do that over. But you don't get do-overs in life. And if you're not careful, regret can paralyze you from doing the job that you can do right now. Take up the mantle where you're at today. Now, if your kids are little, you have the privilege of still making deposits in them. Whether you were able to make deposits or not. Maybe you didn't make them because you just didn't know. Or maybe you did know, and you were so busy making a living that you thought was so important, and spending time putting God's principles in your kids wasn't important to you. Church was something that you did once in a while, and now your kids are out of your direct influence. And you lament the fact that, oh, God, I wish I could go back, Jesus, and put them back in a youth group. I can't, but oh, God, if I could, I would. Well, let me tell you, no matter where you find yourself in this process, whether you didn't know or whether you knew it and didn't do it, or whether you did it, and they, like the Galatian church, have moved away from it somewhat. What's your job? Is to never stop the fight of praying for them in faith until Christ be formed in them. No one can pray for your child with the type of authority that you can, whether they're 5 years old or 50 years old. See, I want to encourage you as a parent is to win the battle in prayer. Yes, when you lose direct influence over your child's life, you can't necessarily use your words, and you may even be estranged from your child. But on your knees, you can do great work. You can stand tall on your knees, and you can pray out things. And oh, I long for you all to be filled with the Spirit, with having a wonderful prayer language. Because the Bible said when you pray in that language, you pray out divine secrets that your mind could never form thoughts and words to captivate. We pray right now for our kids. We pray for their spouses. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I talk to God like I talk to you. Here's how I pray for my kids' future spouses. Because I know they're kids right now. I said, Lord, I pray for Ryan's wife, and I pray for Sienna and Alexis' husband. Lord, I pray that their parents aren't stupid. I'm serious. I said, oh, God, please let their father have the sense to hold those little girls. Please let their father have the sense and not try to think he needs to make money and not have a relationship with this little girl. Please don't let him be so stupid to think something as worthless as money is more important than pouring his heart into that little girl. Please don't let her grow up with a huge void because her daddy was stupid. Give him sense and wisdom. Lord, let the mama have sense. Oh, Jesus, don't let her be captivated by the stupidity of the world. And let her put the truths of the Word of God. Spiritual things matter to. Oh, God, help them. Help those parents. Help those kids. And I pray those kind of specifics. Because I don't want to have to reparent somebody's kid. And you can't. And those deficits, I don't want to have to make up in prayer and faith. There's enough deficits in life without having to forge them on purpose. So, well, how are you doing? Then do your best. Look, we're in this church together. The pool of talent your kid's going to marry from might be right in this church. So do your best. You might have to live with it. So pray for the person beside you. They may be in-laws to you someday. Look down the road and say, we might be close, or maybe not. Now, the reality of it is this. Our job is never done. And no matter what your situation is today, you can have a relationship with God that you can get over into a place of faith and prayer until Christ be formed in your child. Really, you can pray that for yourself, that Christ be formed in you. That simply means that your life be governed by Christ in you, the hope of glory. Learning who you are in Christ, not religious nonsense, but everyday life living in Christ. What God has for me, what God says about me, the purpose of God for my life. And so you keep the fight of faith until Christ be formed in you. The church at Ephesus, Paul started this church. And he was there for a little over 3 years, 3.5 years or so. And then he left them and basically said to them as he left, we'll never see each other again. So he was literally letting go and leaving his spiritual children. Paul went to this port city of Ephesus, a licentious city full of sin. It was known for its worship of the goddess Diana. It was basically the worship of Diana centered around temple prostitutes. So you actually had sexual relations and orgies as a part of the worship. Rarely were people late for church. Rarely. This is the place Paul was founding a church. Now, in 3.5 years, it said that over 20,000 people had grown, that church had grown to. 20,000. Nobody came from other churches. There weren't any. Those are all converts, over 20,000 in a little over 3.5 years. Now, Paul's leaving this group of believers. Now, what he does in doing so is he takes their leaders together and basically has a pastor's conference. And he pulls all the leaders together and he has this dissertation that's left to us in Scripture for our admonition. And I'm going to read it to you. And then I want to take you just quickly through some of the points that Paul held on to in leaving spiritual children, letting them go. And we find it in Acts 20, verse 27 through 32, and then verse 36 through 38. Let me just read it. Paul said, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. I withheld or hid nothing from you. Now keep watch over yourself and all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he's bought with his own blood. For I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on guard and remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning you each night and day with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." And when he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. And they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. When, what grieved them the most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Paul was letting go of spiritual children. Now, in this sense, never to see them again. And let me quickly take you through some of the things he said. Number one, he said, "I told you all of the plan of God from you. I didn't hide or withhold anything from you." Mom and dad, if you still have the opportunity to have direct influence in your child's life, please put God's word in your kids. Please make spiritual things of great value and of importance. Make the things of God first in your life, because that foundation can save your child's life. And then Paul said this, "Before you ever think of anyone else to care for, take care of yourself. Keep yourself, because you can't give what you don't have. Make sure your walk with God is real and vibrant, and you're not just playing games with God, that you're truly walking with Christ and living for God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength." He said, and once you've made that commitment, then keep those that have been entrusted to you by God. You understand that our children, it's a sacred trust. We don't own them. They're entrusted to us. They feel like they're ours, but they're not, because they're going to leave us. And ultimately, in the course of time, if the natural order of things occurs, you'll leave them ultimately through death. And ultimately, Paul said, "I'm never going to see you again." And so he had to entrust them. And he went on to say this. He said, "I never stopped telling you for over 3 years I made these deposits." And then he made this interesting statement. "But after I separate from you, after I leave to see your face no more, you need to know something. You're going to be challenged to move away from what I deposited in you. Savage wolves will come in and they will try to distort the truth." Now, this is so important when it comes to letting them go. This gives you Satan's MO, modus operandi, mode of operation. This is his plan to injure our children outside of our direct influence, is to take God's word that was put in them and to distort it. And so when you begin to pray, that's an area to pray about. Lord, I thank you that the truths that were laid in their hearts, when savage wolves come in and try to distort the truths, to move them away from the hope of the gospel, to move them away from the plan and the purpose of God. There are savage wolves in our culture. One of those savage wolves is college, sadly. And there's so much good in higher education, but so much of it is so base. Now, many of us know college and people that there are college professors in this church. And I'd be thrilled for my kids to be under their tutelage. But I think all of us can agree on this, that there is an anti-God sentiment in our colleges in this nation largely. That's not even a subjective statement. That's a fact. And we need to prepare our kids that there are people that are hell-bent, and I mean that literally, bent on of hell, to take your children's belief in God and undermine it through so-called knowledge. So we need to prepare our kids for that when they go to school. You need to, when I tell you, how many of you realize when your kids go to college, it costs you some cash? But it amazes me how parents will go and find a college, visit the college, and never find a church for their kid. So what if there's not a good church where my kid wants to go to school? Don't go to school there. Well, yeah, but it's the school they need to go to. No, they don't need education with the absence of a walk with God. So I'm telling you, I'd go and spend some time at that church. I'd meet with the people on staff there, say, "What do you have for 20-somethings? And I'd get my kid connected to that group. Say, "Honey, this is where you're going to go to church while you're here, all right? Dad, I'm an adult now. I don't have to go to church. That's cool. That tuition thing, it's on you. No, no, being adult, I get that. I really do. But see, adult means you pay all your own bills. If you're into that, hey, listen, do what you want. But I'm asking you, as long as I'm paying the tuition, I'd like you to invest some time and connect to this local church. Now, if you do your job well, it won't be a fight. But even if it is a fight, make your expectation known. What if they don't go? What are you going to do? Look, do the best you can. But my point is, provide some thought behind it. Instead of just throwing them into some university and say, I hope it goes well. Well, why would we go and visit the university and not think about their spiritual life? Do you see how blind we can be as parents? So don't let the truths of the Word of God be distorted in their life without you having some direct involvement to try to prevent that. And ultimately, you're going to have to prevent it on your knees. Because this culture will distort the truths of sexuality, distort the truths of relationships. It will cause them to want to forget God. It will pervert them about money. It will want them to move to a love of money. And then finally, Paul said this. He said, then now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able, listen now, to give you an inheritance and build you up. Paul said, look, in my absence, I know that what's going to happen is that these wolves are going to come, but I'm going to commit you to God and to the word of his grace, because that word and our God will build you up and he will grant you the inheritance that's yours among those that are separated to God. And it's found it so interesting to me that he didn't say, I commit you to God, or I just commit you to the word of his grace. He said both. And here's why. I think he started with, I commit you to God, because when you think it through, even though Paul was there for three and a half years, not everybody sat under his ministry that long. There were people that maybe only heard Paul speak one time before he left. And what he was saying to these leaders is that, listen, no matter whether they just barely know God or they've been with us all this time, we're going to commit them to the God that's full of mercy. And then when the word of God is always couched in the subject of grace, that is unimaginable favor from God. Favor unearned and unable to be achieved. Every word from God should be couched in that God loves you, he's for you, and he has favor over your life. Let me ask you a question. How many of you here today would say to me that God has reached you and kept you and imparted things to your life that have helped you beyond the direct influence of your parents? So what I'm saying to you is this. No matter what situation you find yourself today with your adult children, maybe your kids are maybe even estranged from you. I don't know your circumstances. Maybe your kids are in college and they just have nothing to do with the things of God. I want to encourage you to understand that God can move in their life. No matter what you're facing, get before him and believe God and pray. And get some prayer partners. Believe and pray and stand for your children. Because we serve a God of grace and a God of mercy that will never let you go. And he'll never let your kids go. He said in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, he said, I'll never relax my grip on you. I'll never let you go. Never. So no matter where your kids may, maybe they're 22 or 42. Can I tell you this, that there's a power when a mom or dad, and mama and dad ideally, are praying over that child. And God can orchestrate relationships. And God can move by angelic influence into their life and bring circumstances and situations to bear and begin to strategically work in their hearts so that they can willfully begin to serve the God that loves them. You know, in Scripture, when Abraham and Sarah were told by God that they would conceive and bear a child, both well beyond the years of that being possible, the Bible says that Sarah laughed. It's like, God, are you kidding me? And sometimes we can look at situations that can seem so impossible with our children, whether they're teens or older or otherwise, and just almost laugh. This is impossible. But do you know what God said to Abraham? He said, you know, Sarah laughed. But let me tell you, Abraham, is anything too difficult for me? Is there really anything too difficult for God? There's no such thing as perfect parents. I would tell you this, that with rare exceptions, all of us that are maybe suffering with some regret pains, I would submit to you that I bet you've done your kids more good than you've done them harm. Maybe there's some exceptions here, but that would be the rarity. That would be the exception. But let me tell you guys, when you let them go, you never let go in faith. You never let go believing God. You pray over them. You pray over their future spouses. You stay in the realm of faith and prayer, and you don't move. When everybody else is talking against them, when everybody tells you they're this and they're that, you don't let your words and heart agree with it. You say, well, I know it looks that way, but let me tell you, I've got inside information. For I've committed them to the God of all glory, of all mercy, of all grace. And he'll never let them go. He'll never relax his grip. Now, they may have relaxed their grip on him. I'll close with this story. Back in the days when lighter-than-air aircraft, or the dirigibles, were big on in America, there was a group of soldiers holding one down. And they were holding it down with ropes, and it broke loose. And the soldiers trying to hold it down held on, and about 20 of them went up with it. And as the crowd stood by and were horrified, as one by one those soldiers could no longer hold on, and they dropped to their death. And this is an actual occurrence. And there was one fellow that just kept holding on and holding on. And finally, people were just amazed. How's he doing it? And they're all waiting with it. Oh, no. And he just holds on until it finally comes back to the earth. And they said, well, how'd you hold on so long? He said, when I saw that I could not, there's no way I'm going to hold on, I held on with one hand and wrapped the rope around me and tied myself. See, I wasn't holding it. It was holding me. And that's what it is. Sometimes we think we're holding on to God, or we've relaxed our grip on him. But can I tell you this? No matter where you find your child today or what they're involved in, God will never relax his grip on them. Though they may have let go of him, he'll never let go of them. And you stand your ground and you believe God. And I tell you this, you're in a church that will stand and fight with you, no matter what you're facing with your family. I want to pray for you today in our families as we wind up this series, as we trust God for his grace in our lives. Father, I thank you for mom and dads in this place. I know there are so many circumstances here, so many different things that we all face. And Lord, you know the particulars of all of our situations. And I pray your blessing over people. And I ask you to lift families today. Lift mom and dads to hope, maybe where they have none. And for those who still have it within their power to have direct influence on their kids, Lord, I pray they take up that banner. They take up that mantle now and be able to do some things that will keep them off their knees perhaps in years to come about some issues. But whatever it may be, Lord, we will fight together. We will weep with those that weep and mourn with those that mourn and rejoice with those that rejoice. We'll fight these battles by faith and win these battles in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your grace in our lives. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if today you drew your final breath on planet Earth and slipped into an eternity, where would you spend the rest of eternity? You need to know that Jesus said there's a heaven and Jesus said there's a hell. Whether that makes you happy or sad, it's true because Jesus said so. So if you're here today and you say, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. If I were to ask you, how are you going to get to heaven? If your answer started with, well, I did this or I did that, you'll come up short. Yeah, but Pastor, I was baptized as a baby or confirmed or had communion or a church sacrament, or I'm a member or attended a church or otherwise. Look, I'm all for that. None of that will hurt you. But no church, any sacrament, any church offers, including this one, will make you right with God. No church can make you right with God. No hierarchy of any church. Only Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to the Father but by me. If you are not certain that you have willfully invited Christ by asking him into your heart, he only comes by invitation. And by the way, he said, if you ask, I'll turn no one away. If you've never invited Christ into your life, would you pray with me today to invite Jesus into your heart? When you do, he'll come. He'll make you brand new. Your sin will be washed away and you'll have right standing with God, and heaven will be yours because it's a gift given by grace, received by faith. So if you're here today and say, Pastor, I'd like to be included in that prayer. In a moment, I'll ask you to do something as simple as to raise your hand and say, I want to be prayed for. I will not ask you to stand. I won't single you out. In fact, I'll ask the entire church to pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So if you'd like to be included in that prayer with every head bowed and every eye closed, right where you're seated, say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you right now, boldly, without fear, go ahead and lift your hand high so I can see it and I'll pray for you. Do it right now and I'm going to pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. If you've not yet raised your hand, you say, Pastor, include me as well. I've not yet raised my hand. I want to be included in that prayer. Would you just quickly now raise your hand and we'll include you also. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. For the many that raised their hand, or if you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you or forsake you. Pray it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
And I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
He died on a cross for my sins.
He died on a cross for my sins.
He was buried.
He
rose from the dead.
Rose from the dead.
He purchased my soul.
Purchased my soul.
I receive you, Jesus.
I receive you, Jesus.
As my Savior and Lord.
As my Savior and Lord.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming.
I'm now a child of God.
Now child
my
of
sin
God.
Washed away. I am now heaven bound.
Now heaven bound.
And Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. Give them a hand, would you?